The images of people so close to shore and so far from help shocked the nation. In December 2010, a boat carrying asylum seekers was dashed on the rocks of Christmas Island and sank. 50 people died. A lawyer has now launched an action against the Commonwealth on behalf of survivors and the relatives of some of the victims. They allege the government failed to maintain a proper rescue service on the island, which could have saved lives. Thomas Ariti compiled this report.
By the 15th of December 2010, Christmas Island had entered its monsoon season and conditions in the water were rough. The force of the waves was too much for CF221, a boat carrying 92 people, mostly asylum seekers, from Iran and Iraq. It crashed onto the rocky cliffs of the island and sank. Of the 50 people who died, the bodies of 30 were recovered from the water, including a three-month-old boy. Human rights lawyer George Newhouse says it was an unforgettable tragedy.
The image of that fateful vessel hitting razor-sharp rocks and sinking, killing 50 on board, is something that will not easily be forgotten by those on board, their families, or all Australians for that matter.
Mr. Newhouse says some of the deaths could have been avoided. A statement of claim has been served to the Commonwealth Government on behalf of 8 people described as survivors or relatives of those who died. They now live in Victoria and New South Wales.
The Commonwealth knew or should have known that there were vulnerable men and women and children that night on the high seas in a storm, and the Commonwealth took insufficient steps to look out for them. And further, when the vessel was approaching Christmas Island and was visible, they didn't have proper systems in place or operating life-saving vessels to actually rescue them.
In 2012, the West Australian coroner, Alistair Hope, found the boat arrived undetected. He also found there was no effective response capability for an emergency at sea off the coast of Christmas Island. But he praised the efforts of Navy and Customs personnel, as did the then Defence Minister, Stephen Smith.
At every step in the process, they put themselves at risk to save lives.
George Newhouse is quick to clarify that the legal action doesn't question the bravery of those involved in the rescue efforts.
Our criticism lies at the foot of the Commonwealth Government that actually unnecessarily put the lives of those rescuers at risk because they did not have an operating system to detect the vessel, and when they did know that it was approaching and in trouble, they didn't have a proper system of rescue vessels which could have staved off the shipwreck.
The court documents allege the government breached its legal obligations to the passengers and crew due to its automatic ownership of the boat when it entered Australian territorial waters. A professor of international law at the Australian National University, Donald Rothwell, says that could be disputed.
One of the critical issues that would arise in this case would be what is the extent of the Commonwealth's responsibility in terms of assumed knowledge with respect to certain vessels that may enter the Australian territorial sea. This is a fairly novel case in terms of the general claim that it's seeking to make in that regard.
Professor Donald Rothwell from the Australian National University, ending that report from Thomas Ariti.